tithes and offerings. It's called the joy of giving. And you may be thinking to yourself, well, maybe I don't have anything to be joyful about. Well, you're sitting here today, and you're able to sit here today. Amen. So that's a reason to be joyful. But I wanted to look at Psalm 145. And if you're wondering if you have any reason to be joyful, this psalm is going to give you some reasons to be joyful. And verse 1 says, this is in the Passion Translation. It's just, it's an amazing translation of this chapter. And I love the very first line. It says, my heart explodes with praise to you. Is this someone who has a little bit of joy, that they're trying to work their way up to joy? No, David is saying, my heart is exploding with praises for you. That means joy is involved, right? He is excited about praising the Lord. Now and forevermore, my heart bows in worship to you, my King and my God. Every day I will lift up my praise to your name with praises that will last throughout eternity. Stop and think about that. Every day. Say every day. This is not a one-time thing. This is not when I feel like it thing. This is not when something good happens thing. This is an everyday thing. And as you lift your praises up to his name, it says, with praises that will last throughout eternity. What have we talked about before? That even science has proven that when things are spoken, they go into the air and they keep going and going and going and go. That satellites have picked up recordings and voices from years ago that are still out there, that are still going. This just proves what David already said. That my praises will last throughout eternity. Lord, you are great and worthy of the highest praise, not just a little bit, but a lot of praise. For there is no end to the discovery of the greatness that surrounds you. Generation after generation will declare more of your greatness and declare more of your glory. Your magnificent splendor and the miracles of your majesty are my constant meditation. Your constant meditation should be on the good things that God has done. If you don't feel joyful, I would challenge you. What are you meditating on? Are you meditating on your problem? Are you meditating on your mountain? Are you meditating on your situation? Because if you're meditating on the things that God has done, you're going to be exploding in your heart with praises to God. Because when you start thinking about what he's done, joy can't help but bubble up inside you. It can't help but just bubble up. Why? Because it's like a Mento in a Coke bottle. It's got to go somewhere, right? There's just so much that it just has to come out. But unless you put the Mento into the Coke bottle, you don't get that reaction, right? So you have to be meditating. That's the Mento, is the meditation. Meditating on the good things that God has done, and then watch out for the joy that's just going to explode in your life. Your awe-inspiring acts of power have everyone talking. How many people are going to walk out of here and be talking about Reed and Peggy's blessing? How cool that was. Sharing with a friend, oh my goodness, these people went on vacation and came home and their house was completely redone. That just gets me excited. I don't know about you guys, but I'm like, I'm next, right? It just gets you excited. A good clean and clear test. How many people, I'm next, amen? Health and wholeness in our bodies, amen? You can't help but tell when you've seen something amazing that's happened. You want to share it with somebody. 133,600 and something that we gave to missions. I just wanted to share that with everybody I could find, right? Even people that don't really know you, you just want to share it with them. Have you heard? Right? Because it's exciting. The awe-inspiring acts have people talking. Not about the problems, but about the possibilities. Amen? And it says, I'm telling people everywhere about your excellent greatness. Our hearts bubble over as we celebrate the fame of your marvelous beauty, bringing bliss to our hearts. We shout with ecstatic joy over your breakthrough for us. Let me say that again. We shout with ecstatic joy over your breakthrough for us. Thank you. Are you ready? One more time. We shout with ecstatic joy over your breakthrough for us. Woo! Isn't God good? This is, if you don't feel joyful already, I'm going to come shake you. You should be starting to feel the joy just bubbling up inside you. Why? Because we're recounting the ways that God has been good. We're talking about the author and the finisher of our faith and the one who put the joy inside you in the first place. When you got filled with the Holy Spirit, that joy came in you. It was there. It's a fruit. You don't even have to make it happen. Like Pastor Steve said, ha, ha, ha. When the devil's trying to make you have a bad day, ha, ha, ha. I can honestly tell you, when my washing machine started doing its thing, I did not get down. I didn't get down this time. I didn't get down. You know why? Because ha, ha, ha. You come against me with a weapon, watch out for the flood that's behind me that's going to overtake you and wipe you out. Amen? Whew. You're kind and tenderhearted to those who don't deserve it. Aren't you so glad? Whew. And very patient with people who fail you. Your love is like a flooding river overflowing its banks with kindness. God, everyone sees your goodness, for your tender love is blended into everything you do. Everything you have made will praise you, fulfilling its purpose, and all your godly lovers will be found bowing before you. They will tell the world of your lavish splendor, of your kingdom, and preach about your limitless power. This is us. This is describing us. And how can we do that? How can we be these people that David's describing? Because number one, our hearts are exploding with praise. Amen. Our hearts are exploding. If you try to keep a lid, I haven't done it before, but if I try to keep a lid on a Coke bottle when the Mentos, I'm probably thinking it would just burst out everywhere, right? Because it's got to go somewhere. I learned something new with my front loader this week. You can't put two of the Tide packets in there. And I saw what happens. There's so many bubbles, they have to come out somewhere. And they came out all around the little front-loading thing and all out the top of the little insert. They were everywhere, right? Because there wasn't enough room inside to contain them. Guess what? As a Christian, your joy has got to come out somewhere. Amen? You should be walking around with this. Are you having a bad day or a good day? What's going on here? What's the smile, right? I got the joy of the Lord. But didn't you tell me this happened? I got the joy of the Lord. But didn't you say this happened in your family? I got the joy of the Lord. How can you be so joyful in the midst of all this garbage going on? Because I got the joy of the Lord, and I know what He's done, and I'm meditating on those things, and this joy can't help but come out. Woo! Woo! God is so good. The joy of giving. We need to get back to being so excited about bringing our tithes and offering to the Lord. Don't let this time be mundane, what we've always done, and you come and ho-hum, here's my offering. No, you walk in this place, a little skip, woo! Where's the tithes and offerings? I can't wait to give it. I can't wait to sow my seed. Why is that so important? Because what you're doing is you're changing the atmosphere around you. You're changing what the enemy has tried to do. You're saying, no, I'm excited because I know this is my seed. I'm going to plant this seed, and who knows what the harvest will be. Who knows? I was sharing last week that a lot of times when the budget gets tighter and the enemy comes in and he says, you can't afford to do that. You can't afford to don't do that. That should be the time that you dig a little deeper into your wallet or you write a little bit more in your check and you stick it in. Why? Because God has something coming and the devil knows, he may not know exactly, but he knows something good's coming and he's trying to get you to throw it away. He's trying to get you to hold on and hold on tighter. What's that verse said? There's one that freely gives and has more, then there's one that holds back and has nothing. Don't be the one that holds back and ends up with nothing. Amen? You just keep on giving and giving and giving with joy. With joy. With joy. And then we will all be doing what verse 7 says. We will shout with ecstatic joy over your breakthrough for us. I'm sure when Reed and Peggy walked in their house, that was, well, actually she said from the outside they could see a difference. That was a breakthrough for them. Amen? That was a breakthrough. That's something that even when she was talking this morning, I could still tell she was still overwhelmed at all of the goodness of God in her house. Amen? That's what God has in store for each of us. We should be walking around remembering what he has done. I know so many of you in this room that have had miracle after miracle after miracle. You're living with your miracles, a lot of you. Things that were impossible that God made possible. And you have more than enough reason to be joyful today. Don't let the devil come in and try to steal your joy. You know, if you choose not to be joyful, it's because you chose not to be joyful. You chose to give him something that was yours, something that God gave you. Don't do that. Make a choice this morning. I refuse to give my joy to the devil anymore. I refuse. I refuse. We say he comes to steal our joy, but really, we have to give it to him. We have to make the choice to be sad. Don't let him do it anymore. Don't. Just refuse. Even if you have to start your ha-has with tears. Just say, nope, I refuse. I'm going to be ecstatic with joy. I'm going to have an overflowing heart that can't wait to tell everyone I know about what God has done. Amen? So are you ready to give your tithes and offerings this morning? Woo! Let me hear you. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Woo! So, Father, we just thank you so much for blessing this seed this morning, Father. We thank you that you have plans and purposes, Father, for each seed that's sown. And I just praise you, Lord, for we just call in that harvest from the north, south, east, and west. And we thank you, Lord, we are blessed to be a blessing. Father, I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that people are going to hear about the things that we share. They're going to share that with someone else and share it with someone else. So it keeps going and going and going and being a blessing every time it's told. Till, Father, it's that overflowing effect. And we just thank you, Lord, for just giving us just a boldness to laugh and to be joyful, Father, no matter what. Help us to wake up in the morning and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what happens, I choose joy. And we just thank you, Father, for your word today. We thank you for blessing this offering in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Whew! I don't know about you, but I'm ready to give.
Praise the Lord. We are fighting a spiritual battle. Jesus has won, right? But we still have, has anyone noticed any evidence that the devil is still around? Right? The devil is still around, but Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. The devil is an outlaw. He is lawless. Has anyone seen any evidence of lawlessness around? Even in places of leadership, right? So we're praying and believing God. We don't hate people, but we preach God's word and we stand for his word, right? So, amen. Amen and amen. And we're going to continue to preach these things and just, you know, there's a reason why we come together, because there's power when we come together. That's why the enemy wants to keep people out of church and keep people away from God and away from gathering together in faith, because that slows, you know, interferes with breakthroughs in people's lives, right? Let's pray over this message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us. We give you all the praise and all the glory for the wonderful things that you're doing, God, on this planet. Just as Pastor Shelley was saying, and your Spirit was saying to us all morning, to be rejoicing and praising God more, and just walking in that state of expectancy. And like Mom shared with me this morning, just the word boom, when we're praying in the Spirit, there are explosions going on in the heavenlies, and the devil is getting it pulled down on his head. Amen. And so we continue to say these things and walk in faith and believe God and rejoice in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And we apply the blood, Lord, over our Supreme Court justices right now and over those leaders in office that are standing up for what's right. And we thank you for them, Jesus, and we apply the blood over them. And we bind the devil from his wicked attacks on them. Just as my friend Brendan, Father, you remember we spoke this past week and he was sharing about his uncle, Tom, I think it's Glassner, and his job overseeing pregnancy resource centers in the country and how he's had death threats and there's been fire bombings. And we bind Satan right now, who wants to steal and kill and destroy children's lives. Party's over, devil. We bind you, we cast you out, we apply the blood over these people that are standing in the gap. We have their backs in the Spirit. May they feel the strength of our prayers today, and may every plan of the devil to cause any sort of craziness be thwarted and reversed. Whether it's a shooting, whether it's influencing leaders to change votes by fear and intimidation, whether it's messing with elections, anything unjust, especially regarding children, we take authority over that. Get out of our schools, get out of our families, get out of the church, in the name and by the blood, and get out of our nation. In the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we continue, Lord, to lift up places like the Ukraine and Afghanistan and all the injustice. Father, we bind Satan and his efforts. We thank you for the miracle stories and the supernatural protection over people's lives. And we thank you, Father God, for Psalm 91 protection over your people. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Well, we're continuing today on the message entitled Reclaiming the Family, right? And the Lord has had us on a journey through this word, and somebody just say, we reclaim the family in the name of Jesus, right? And we can look out, you know, out the windows and on the television and on social media and say, man, the devil's getting in here, the devil's getting in there. Well, first and foremost, we looked at, you know, you saw over the past few weeks, the first place the devil got in was in the family. And it was in the Garden of Eden. It's nothing new. The devil has no new tricks. Right? Amen? And so we are, our assignment right now is to be reclaiming the family for Jesus. Amen? Getting back to teaching God's word in the family, living God's word in our families. And I was listening to, you know, we have the living room set up here. I'm going to back up a little bit and preach from the living room, right? And I was listening to Pastor Mark Barclay on a minister's conference that I didn't even know I had. The Holy Ghost sometimes, you know, I don't know if it's that we're slow to receive sometimes or if he realizes this is for when you need it later. But I found a thumb drive. And I like to listen to preaching while I'm driving around the city and all that. So I said, you know what? I think I actually have in my vehicle. I've never tried it before, but I plugged it in, and sure enough, it just started playing. And there's like 16 messages from a minister's conference that they did at Eagle Mountain in 2016. It was the year President Trump was elected, and the 50th anniversary of the Copeland's ministry, and all these things. But Pastor Mark Barclay was was the one that wrapped up the whole, I listened to all 16 messages, just tremendously encouraging and faith building, right? But he was talking about the family, and he's like, the where we gather for church, the sanctuary, that's the word I'm looking for, is the living room. It's a common area for God's people to gather together, right? And it's important that we continue to gather together. This past week, I was, Shelley shared the story. I was, you know, I'm getting victory, more victory over high blood pressure in my life. I refuse in the name of Jesus to live the rest of my life on prescription drugs for anything. Prescription drugs are not God's answer permanently for sickness. That's a good place to say amen. Amen. But I know right now I need to take a few of them, right? So that I don't feel like I need to holler at you or somebody on the highway or whatever, right? But one of the tests that I took this past week was for I found a physician that is thinking the way we are in terms of let's try to get you off of medication. Has anyone checked these secondary things like your blood flow to your kidneys and your sleep patterns? Those are other things that can cause the blood pressure to elevate. And I said, no, I've never had that done. Well, let's do it then, right? So the kidney test came back completely normal. So hallelujah. Somebody say, thank God for being completely normal. Amen. But getting off of medications and all these things, I guess the point is, if we see it in God's word, you take it for yourself. You don't let anybody talk you out of that, right? Amen? And I don't really know where I was going with all that, but we're here to talk about the family of God, right? Reclaiming the family. I'm reclaiming my health. What words we say. What we're standing for. Now, I'm not a perfect dad. I'm not a perfect husband. But we have a perfect Lord, a perfect Savior, right? And we point people to Him. But people are also watching us. So we can't just negate the importance of us. That's where I was going. Thank you, Holy Ghost. It was the word us. Because when I was at the doctor the other day, they had a cool little sign out front. It looked like a temporary sign stuck in the ground, and it said, keep us, capital U-S, open.org. Get your stinking vaccinations. Didn't say it that way, but that's how I interpreted it. You know what I heard? If you don't stay vaccinated, we're shutting down again. This right here is the best vaccination you can get, the Word of God. Now, I got nothing against vaccinations, all right? But it should be a free, in this country, there's this thing called freedom of choice. Freedom of choice. My friend Brendan was sharing with me that he has, you know, it's good to have people that are on the left that we're friends with, right? People, and he was talking with somebody that he knows, and they were talking about all the craziness in the world and in particular the vaccination topic and how, oh, you should. And he looks at her and he goes, how about stay out of my body? In terms of the abortion objections, right? And she's like, oh, you can't use that. He goes, why can't I use that? It's the same concept. I should be able to choose what I put in my own body. And she's like, oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Somebody say pro-choice. Oh, yeah, but not with that. Come on, church, right? These are things that you know, affect the family, right? How do we address these issues? How do we talk about these issues, right? Somebody say, in this country, we have the freedom of choice. Amen? And in your family, we ought to be people of God's word, people of faith, Well, our foundation text is Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father is a family word. In fact, I looked up the word family, where it says right here, verse 15, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And the word family comes from the word father. Now, you need a father and a mother to have a family, right? But it's a powerful thing. God wants me to call him dad, father, Abba Father, right? From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That he would grant to you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Hallelujah. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length, the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Somebody say, God loves me. So it's a love thing. Me and Brother Reed were talking this morning about the power of the love of God and how important it is to have an understanding, be developing in our understanding of God loves me. I was watching an interesting documentary last night, one of my favorite shows, and our family loves the Little House on the Prairie shows from, you know, eons ago. Well, not that far ago, 30 years, whatever it's been. But we were watching Melissa Gilbert, Laura, from an interview, you know, even the interview was 15, 20 years ago, but still, you know, new. And she was talking about her experience with the show. And she said, and she talked about how everybody in the whole cast was just like family, right? And she was 9 years old and was on the show till she was 19, and just, you know, it's a classic show as far as I'm concerned, right? I love it. Great show, you know, great characters and all these things. But she said that every once in a while, she had this really, really neat relationship with Michael Landon. Right, and she said, if he would cry, I would automatically cry. Right? See, we just had this bond, like a father-daughter bond, right? And she said, but every once in a while, I would have a hard time during the shooting as a kid, finding those emotions. So she said he would just take me aside, walk me over, and get down in my face. And she said he would just be weeping, his tear, and he would say, do you have any idea how much I love you? And she said instantly she would just start tearing up. And then they would continue to make these amazing shows that make us tear up when we're watching them, right? But having that understanding of God loves me. My Father loves me. My Father is not going to allow this nation to go to hell. Amen. My Father is not going to allow the garbage that the devil is promoting out there to take over. Amen. Why? Because he loves me. Amen, right? Hallelujah. This is good news. So somebody say, I'm growing in my comprehension of how much my Father loves me. How much my Father loves me. Amen. And some key definitions for the sake of, you know, I know we all understand these things, but we're speaking things into the spirit realm because there are devils out there that are listening. So church ought not be a place where the devil says, we should go there, they're helping us. Church ought to be a place that angels are listening for orders, and devils are hearing the judgment, basically, the sentence, right? And so we declare these things, right? And this is right out of the dictionary, right? How do you define what a family is? The devil is trying to redefine the family. And I'll tell you what, I've been driving around town, And I want to get into the billboard ministry now. Remember, we did, a few years ago, we did newspaper ads. We've done social media stuff. Well, there's a couple billboards I've seen around town. One is Planned Parenthood. What a joke of a name. The devil just twists things, right? And they were promoting Planned Parenthood with a big rainbow, you know, the abuse of the rainbow. The devil has taken the rainbow and perverted it. And there was one right here in Vancouver I saw with the rainbow and a male and male parents with children, cartoon characters, and woman and woman relationship with children, cartoon characters. And it was a business talking about, we're here for you. And you know, it made me mad, not at the people, but it's like, what brass, what gall the devil has to lie like that? To lie, here's the thing, to lie to children. It's unacceptable, absolutely unacceptable. And so I started getting ideas for billboards we could put up. Like, you know, a couple with children, maybe an interracial couple. There's nothing wrong with that. There's Christian people that think if a black man and a white woman get married, that's wrong. Let me tell you something, you're wrong. Male and female, right? So an interracial couple with little kids, and the slogan, family. What a God idea. Redeem-church.org. Hallelujah. I mean, it's time to speak up. Not in a finger-pointing way. Another one I thought of when I saw the Planned Parenthood one was maybe a cross, the cross of Christ up there. And I found a picture of a rainbow kind of faintly behind the cross. And a slogan like, God's mercy the mercy of God is an invitation to repent. Offer expires at time of death. Redeem-church.org. Somebody say, tell them the truth. In love. Not rainbow, you're all going to hell. How about we make a billboard with, you know, hailstones of fire? No. Point them to the mercy, point them to the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. So key definitions. The family is a basic social unit consisting of parents and their children.
Yeah, but what's a parent?
Well, apparently you don't know. You do. And maybe someone out there doesn't. That's listening later, right? Parent means, and don't call the dictionary racist, parent means a father or a mother.
Yeah, but how do you define a father?
Okay. Father, a male parent. Mother, a female parent.
Yeah, but how do you define male? We can change that.
The very sharp knife. Ooh. No, you can't. You can't. You can't change biology. I heard this: the state of California decided that bees and fish are biologically the same thing. You see how crazy it gets? You see how crazy it gets? When somebody in office that's so, and it has to do a lot of it with the homosexual community, because they are so, their consciences are becoming so seared. And they know what they're doing in many cases is so wrong that they want to make everything else okay to condone their lifestyle. And it's dangerous. Dangerous, right? Okay, so a male, dictionary definition, a person. Now, we could all agree, no matter how someone looks, what do we have in common? We are persons. Hallelujah, right? But a male is a person bearing an X and Y chromosome pair in the cell nuclei. A female is a person bearing two X chromosomes in the cell nuclei. Somebody tell me this. Can you ever change this? No. No. Can't do it. Hallelujah. In the past couple Sundays, last week was such a great service, by the way. Shelly didn't share. We kind of had to rush into the kickoff today. But man, that Mission Sunday was such a powerful Sunday. And Shelly will share more about that. But just an amazing, amazing effort in terms of people's pledges for this next year to get missions, to get the gospel preached around the world. Way to go, church. But the previous two Sundays we talked about, we went to the Garden of Eden and saw where the problem began, because the problem did not begin when Joe Biden went into office. It did not begin with Kamala Harris. It did not begin with Nancy Pelosi. It did not begin with Hillary and Bill. It did not begin with CNN. It did not begin with Hollywood. It did not begin with terrorists. No, it began in the Garden of Eden. It began with Satan and Adam and Eve, right? And we talked about that, where it got in. You can listen to those online. But we're going to continue today with looking at where God has now redeemed the family, or given the family a way to get out of the mess. Because how many know, if we want this country to get out of the mess it's in, the family is going to have to get out of the mess it's in. Amen. Glory to God, right? Well, Galatians 3:13, this is the key to our victory right here in the family. Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us, there's a good U.S. word, from the curse, doom of the law, and its condemnation, by himself becoming a curse for us. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, is crucified. Somebody say, that's our victory. I had a friend this week talking to me about how he doesn't feel like he can approach God or serve God right now because he's had family problems, right? His family is not together. They're kind of astray and being crazy. I mean, crazy stuff. And I'm like, brother, really what it comes down to is he's talking about you. You can't control them. And they might be doing some of what they're doing because of some stuff that you chose in the past. But right now, Jesus is most concerned about what's happening right here in you. You can't control other people. You can't control what your family's doing, especially as adults and all these kind of things. But you can control what you're doing. Jesus is most interested in where are you at with him. Not, I can't come to Shelly and say, Shelly, you are messed up in this area of your life. That's none of my business. My business is to love her and keep myself in line with Jesus. And I believe me, I got enough trouble keeping Steve in line. Amen. We're human beings, right? Amen. I'm no trouble. I'm a blessing. Hallelujah. The devil's the one in trouble, right? But there's effort involved keeping ourselves in tune with Jesus. Staying in his word, staying in faith, staying in love. Amen? Obeying him, doing what he says to do. There's scriptures where he asks, he says, why do you call me Lord if you don't do what I'm telling you to do? And I have to answer that every single day. Amen. And that doesn't mean we're earning our way to heaven. It has to do with we love him, we love him, we love him. Because if we stop loving him, we're going to start drifting. And that's dangerous. There are Christians by the droves out there that are buying into all this worldly philosophy, whether it's the gender things or, you know, all the stuff that they're pushing out there. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. They think, well, if you're a church and you're not embracing that, then you're not loving God. Well, no, loving God means loving His Word and doing what His Word says to do and being about the truth. Amen? But let's look at where the redemption for the family happened, because in Luke chapter 2, we're going to move through this pretty quick, but Luke chapter 2, because we got, you know, a little celebration to do today. Hallelujah. Every day should be a celebration with Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. The word says this. Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Yes. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage. Somebody say the house and lineage. See, those are family words. He was of the house and lineage of David. You see, the point we're making here is the Messiah came first to a family. He didn't just appear on a mountain. Right? To be registered with Mary, his wife, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Now, who was the child in Mary's womb? No, it doesn't say he was in Joseph's womb. Right? It's just basic stuff, but it's got to be stated, right? Mary was with child. Jesus came through. He had a mother, right? And an earth father, too, right? So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were, and oh, I think that's where we're stopping there, just that brief part. The thing to notice here is that Jesus was born into a family. Remember in the Garden of Eden, the problem started with Adam and Eve when they disobeyed God. Jesus was born into a family. Therefore, we can state right here is where the redemption of the family began. Because he came right into the middle of it. Hallelujah. Amen. That's glorious news. That gives us hope for our families. The same Jesus that was born into the family of Mary and Joseph can be born into your family. Hallelujah. That's why we call ourselves born again. Because we've been redeemed from the curse that Adam brought, and we've received the blessing, the Redeemer, Jesus himself, right? Amen? So Jesus himself was born into a family. Just think about that for a second. Amen. Born into a family. Had a mom and an earth dad. Call him a stepdad, I guess. Born into a family with rules. Was taught and raised by a family. Amen. Honored his parents. Glory to God, right? That's the Savior we have. That's why we can reclaim the family for Jesus, right there. Amen? Now look at 1 Corinthians 15. I want to look at that for a moment. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 17 through 26, and the word says this, "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished." Verse 19, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now," somebody say, "but now." Verse 20. Christ is risen from the dead. What did God tell Adam and Eve? Or really, Adam. If you eat that fruit, you will die. And yet here, we have a Savior, a Redeemer, who has conquered death on behalf of the family. So if death, therefore, is trying to take over, or the symptoms of death, spiritual, physical, financial, are trying to move in on my family, I have the biblical right here to refuse that. Hallelujah. Next week on Father's Day, I believe we're going to spend the message on talking about our authority. The father is supposed to be the one with the gun. Now, there's some ladies that can use guns too, but dad is the reason why bad guys stay away from the house, in most cases, right? Amen. So we're going to talk about the authority, really, of the believer, but a father being a good, you know, symbol of that. Amen? But this is the basis for why we have that authority over the devil in our lives, because Christ is risen from the dead, right? And has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man come death, by man also came the resurrection from the dead. Now that's important to read again. For since by man came death, Adam. Somebody say Adam. Boy, Adam, when we get to heaven, big pile of Adam. No, just kidding. No. We're gonna. He's the father of all of the living, right? Amen. But look at this. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. So see. That's a family word. He came as a man through a family and conquered death. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Thank you, Jesus. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, when he puts an end to the rule, authority, and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Glory to God forevermore. Amen? Somebody say, we reclaim the family based on this portion of Scripture and the others we've been looking at, right? But look at this as we close today. We need to wrap it up. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Somebody say, my faith is in Jesus. I reclaim the family. I reclaim my family. I don't know. There's been some shenanigans trying to happen in our extended family. And it's like, hang on, devil, now. You got no right. Mom gave me a thing about the bean side of the family over at a family event last week or a week before. And you open it up, and we had this cousin Eddie. He's with Jesus now. He's in heaven. But he did some research on the bean heritage. Hallelujah. And we have, I mean, the bean family, there's a Bama bean, Alabama bean, years ago. I mean, this is like back to the 1700s. But one of the beans that stood out to us was William Bean? Captain William Bean. And Captain William Bean knew, was it Daniel Boone or Davy Crockett? Daniel Boone. And this wouldn't be popular in 2022 to say, but he was the first white man to settle in the Tennessee Territory. And he helped establish the state of Tennessee. And he was a war hero. He built this huge complex. It was a tavern, actually, which was really like a big mall. And it was the biggest thing between Washington, D.C. and New Orleans. And it had a couple, you know, saloons in it and hotel and all these different things. And people would stop there. And it was a safe place to come through between Washington, D.C. and New Orleans. Presidents would stop there. There was even a thing that said Abraham Lincoln's mother worked there for a while. I mean, talk about a connection to our national heritage, right? And then I was reading about, I don't know if it was that same guy, but he was, I think it was his father, actually, that was passing away, and he was writing out his will, because you're looking for, okay, were they slave owners? I mean, it was just a cultural thing back then, right? And one of my relatives said, you know, I give my soul to Jesus, and I dedicate this to my wife, or my wife, and my property. And he also said, in the Negro girl, Grace. And I thought, you know what? I got a black cousin in heaven. When I get to heaven, I'm going to go look for Grace. And I'm going to say, you're my cousin. But wow. But, you know, in the midst of family heritages and all these, it's really just interesting to look at, right? But by the blood of Jesus, we are a part of such a great thing that the devil has no answer for it, right? And even in our history and our whatever's going on in our extended families where the enemy's trying to steal, kill, and destroy, we can stand on this word in our prayer time. In our prayer time, intercede, pray, bind and loose. I'm getting into next week's message. But you need to know this, and you need to be doing this. Putting your foot down in the spirit and saying, you will not have these people. I have a list on my phone that I can go through. Certain days I'll actually go through and read names. Literally everyone I can think of from since I was a child, but especially family members. Right? It's like, no, you're not touching them. No, you're not touching them. I reached out and invited several of them to the men's breakfast yesterday. Crickets. Creep, creep. Okay, let's get back to talking baseball. But you keep it out there, right? Amen. Glory to God. Because Jesus is our big brother. Oh, my goodness. And we have been set free and redeemed from the curse. But I want to end with this, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Because look what happens next. After Jesus redeems the family and he grows up and raises again from the dead. And woo, hallelujah, right? Well, look at this statement he makes. All authority, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. Reclaiming the family for Jesus leads to reclaiming nations for him. I mean, no other faith does that. Hallelujah, right? Jesus fixed, I got to read these statements up above. Jesus fixed Adam's failure forever. Amen? And reclaiming the family for Jesus leads to reclaiming Portland. Come on, somebody. I met a lady the other day on a pest control job. Right in the middle of the mess over there, her house. And man, she's an intercessor, has scriptures all over her house, right in the middle of where the devil's trying to set up shop in one of the cities he thinks he owns. Somebody say, we're everywhere. She's like another cousin, well, actually a sister. And she's probably in her 80s or 90s, right? And we're talking, and I'm like, hey, after I did her service for her, I'm like, I'm with you. I see all this stuff. I'm like, we know how this ends, don't we? Hallelujah, right? Encouraging one another with these words. Reclaiming the family for Jesus leads to reclaiming nations for him. He came, somebody say, he came to the family first. There's a big push, we're closing now, but there's a big push, you know, voting people in that are America first people. I like that. Because if America's healthy, if America is built on the truth, if the majority of our country uses our own natural resources. If our country doesn't allow big government to rule everybody and make all of our decisions and force everybody to do everything, drive electric cars, and I don't mind the option of a Tesla, but the owner of Tesla himself would tell you, you should have a choice. Amen. Somebody say, it all starts with home. It all starts with home, and we're staying in faith for the family. Amen. Let's all stand up. We're going to close it up in prayer today. I love Jesus. I love His Word. I love His Word. I love His Word. Hallelujah. Somebody just lift your hands and say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome into our family, Lord. You are the King and the God of our family, my family. Just intercede for your family right now, your biological family. And this would include foster kids and adoptive kids and anybody in your household, maybe people you know, maybe people you don't know. Just begin to pray in the Spirit. Oh, we just see Jesus. We just see Jesus born into our families, doing a work that no man could ever do but Him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And Satan, we serve you. Notice that you are excommunicated from our bloodline. The Word says we can say, me and my household shall be saved. We take them back for Jesus. Those who've been swayed by the lies of the enemy of the age right now, we bind that and we say, let there be light and truth in those situations. Oh, and we praise you for the victory, Jesus. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just say that name, Jesus. What family are you from? Just say, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, in your mighty name, and we reclaim the family for you. Thus, we claim the nations, the U.S. and beyond, for you. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen.